Hello. Hello, I'm Sarah Jessica Parker. I'm sitting in today for Leonard Lopate. Alex Katz has developed a unique style of painting over his six-decade-long career. His iconic portraits and landscapes have been the subject of over 200 solo shows and are included in the collections of more than 100 major museums all over the world, including the Met and MoMA. His most recent show at Gavin Brown's Enterprise in New York just closed, but he has exhibitions up right now in Paris, London, Los Angeles, and Sao Paulo. It is a great honor to welcome him to the Leonard Lopate Show today. We have a slideshow of some of his works on our show page if you'd like to look at them while we're talking. In addition to all those shows that I've just mentioned, don't you also have museum exhibitions scheduled to open in the next month or so at the Albertina Museum in Vienna?
Yeah, Albertina and Tate.
And the Tate in right. London. And the National Portrait Gallery, is that
no,
right?
No, we had the show there.
You had that. So is this, are you always so busy?
With show, no.
This is an unusual.
It's been pretty busy, but this is over the top right now.
And why do you think now, this particular time, there's...
Well, I like to think that the world is catching up with me.
I would like to think so also. So you grew up in New York City, correct?
Right.
And... were the arts an important part of your growing up years? Were you?
Yeah, we had art. We had we had paintings on the walls and etchings, mm-hmm. You know, and they were the paintings were expressionist. A friend of my mother's painted them, and then they had some etchings and things. So we had that, but the culture was mostly magazine. That's where arts were.
Oh, really?
At that time, yeah.
And so visits to museums weren't...
No. I went to the Met once to see some Sargents with my parents, but we didn't go to the museums. It was out in Queens, which is like being out in Ohio or someplace.
Right, right. A great distance to come in.
You'd come in to see the Rockettes or something.
Right. at what point... Well, when you talk about seeing the images in your house from that some of your friends or in magazines, you know, that your parents had, how did you experience, do you recall at that time seeing that and having any early thoughts of that's something I'm interested or engaged by? Or you just saw the art?
It was an activity like right. other activities.
Right, right.
That I did. We always painted. And it was a strange. I grew up in the beginning of the suburbs, which were... the only thing that people had in common was the price of the house.
Right, right, right.
Right? And there was no center.
Yes.
It was before malls.
Right, right, right. So, sounds like a nicer time.
Yeah, no malls. And the churches and synagogues weren't around.
So
it was kind of a weird place when I think of it, because the block had 24 houses and you didn't know anyone three blocks away.
And so what were you like as a child? What were your interests? And if there wasn't a sort of community, was it a smaller kind of?
Very small. We grew up two other artists on the block.
Oh.
Yeah, and they were both more advanced than I was. And so I learned a lot from both of them.
And so at what age are you talking about at this point?
Well, when I was 13.
So you already had identified at that point that thought of yourself as an artist.
Well, I was doing artwork, and then this other guy, Dick Crockett, was doing artwork. And he was really good. And he said, I'm going to this vocational school. So why don't you go too? So my parents told me not to go, and the principal from the school told me not to go, and he said I should go to New York and go to industrial arts or something instead of this school. And then I got my way,
and I went
to this dopey school.
what was this dopey school called? And was
It was Woodrow Wilson Vocational High School. I think they finally closed it and made it into another school because it really ran down. But it was a place where it was mostly about dancing and clothes and jazz.
Uh-huh.
And if you came to class and stayed awake, you could get an 80.
I see. Vocational.
Vocational, yeah.
So at what point, you did study at Cooper Union, right?
Yeah.
That was
a serious school.
But yeah. And how did you find your way there? And is that point you realized?
Well, for a kid, I was working very... it's either the vocational school, you could draw for 3 hours a day.
And was that beneficial time for you?
Oh, yeah. I learned how to draw there. I learned how to do the antique. And of course, you would take a whole week to make a drawing, and I couldn't draw at all well when I got in. And by the time I got out, I could make an antique drawing that was as good as anybody's.
And so even though the school sounds like not such a great school in some ways, there were teachers there who really were actually teaching, right?
Well, the guy was very good who was teaching the antique.
Wow.
He went to the Academy in New York, and he was a commercial artist, but he was really good. And he made it into, like, formal. And actually, when I got into Cooper and was doing Cubism, it was the same words.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
The
wow.
Same, absolutely the same
that
language.
That he had been using.
The same language. And I was very good at Cubism because of him.
Interesting.
Because it was the same thing. And Picasso started with antique. He made
wow.
that thing, you know, from antique to Cubism.
Yep.
And the teacher would say, "Don't disturb your black areas with whites, and don't put whites into your light areas, and open up edges." It took a week to make a drawing, three
wow.
hours a day, and the teacher teaching Cubism said the exact same sentences.
So, you know? So at what point did you, you know, having had surprisingly really wonderful, you know, experiences in this vocational school, then having it confirmed, at what point do you say, okay, this is what I'm going to pursue, this is going to be...
Well, I thought I'd paint. I had nice ideas. Well, I sure as hell didn't feel like in the books you read about geniuses. You know, 19th
yeah.
century books, and I said, boy, I'm no genius. I had to work very hard. And then... So I could never really be a great painter because you're not a genius.
That's what you thought.
That's what
then.
I thought. Yeah.
Yes.
And then,
because someone
when I got out of Cooper, I did very well in Cooper. You know, it's sort of like it was a challenge. And I finally got serious. I cut out everything and was tops there.
Wow.
And I got a scholarship to Skowhegan, and it was a regional art school.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't really understand modern art.
Interesting.
At that time. And so I went out and tried to paint. They're painting landscapes, and it was a lot of fun.
And that's in Maine?
Yeah.
No, yes.
So
first experience traveling to Maine? Was that the
first
time? Yeah,
it was the first time, and I love painting the landscapes because I never did it before. I was doing much more hermetic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I had such a kick painting. I said, I don't care if anything happens, I just really like doing this. Is what I want to do, and that's what I made up my mind, is really going flat out be a painter.
And how do you support yourself at this point?
Well, it was odd jobs, and what happened was at the time in the 50s, there wasn't a lot of commercial activity, and so and also I was doing the style of painting that was absolutely non-negotiable.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
Because the realistic painters, they were unfinished, and to abstract painters, they were real minor. So I carved frames mostly for about 10 years.
Oh, really? And is that how you bought supplies? And
Yeah, of course, you could pay your rent. I could, with carving frames, I could pay my rent on 3 days a week.
Wow.
And have money left over.
And then you'd still have those days, too.
Yeah, and then I painted I could paint.
Were you part of that Cedar Bars, that whole...
Well, I went there, yeah, I went there.
Scene and...
that whole... Well, what happened was when I got out of Cooper Union, one block away was where everything was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I was by nature a little recessive, but I tossed right into this. And so it was like there were openings and lots of people and lots of parties. And the Cedar Street, you go to the openings, and then you go to the club, and then you go to the Cedar Street. It was all like very social. And it was like graduate school.
And this is Sarah Jessica Parker. I'm in for Leonard Lopate. I'm having the great pleasure of having a conversation with Alex Katz. As you know, they've sort of been romanticized as talking about these long, late discussions you would all have about art. And
yeah.
Does that exist for you still? Is there still a group of people?
No, it's all gone away.
And because people are no longer living, or because the conversation people aren't interested in sort of that.
We sort of. I think painting always comes out of conflicts.
And
it's a social thing. It's a social thing that has happens in cities. And it was in Paris. Everyone was hot.
Yeah.
And New York was very hot in the 50s.
Yeah.
As a place to be. You were just lucky to be there. And you had all these conflicts and arguments and stuff. And you made up your mind what you were going to do. And then after a while, you just weren't interested in arguing with people anymore.
No matter what your vocation or discipline, are there emerging artists in your life now that come to you and want information, want to learn with you or to watch you or are
no, I'm pretty detached.
And that's by choice.
That's by choice. Yeah,
and you moved to Artist Loft in Soho in the late 60s.
Late 60s, yeah.
And are you still there?
Same place.
Wow. So, I mean, you must have seen enormous change in that neighborhood.
Well, it was basically an industrial slum. It was called Hell's 100 Acres because they had fires all the time.
Wow. And the fires were just randomly started by,
They were doing working with a lot of solvents.
Yeah.
You know, when they did a lot of silk screen. Our place was silk screen printing.
Oh, wow. And you're still there.
Still there.
And you still live and work in that.
Yeah,
in that
same way.
Do you have a sort of routine to your day?
Not really. I like to get in the studio by 10.
And work for however many hours.
Well, whatever I do. You know, I don't. I'm not a 9-to-5 painter.
Right. How does I have so much to ask you, but how do you sort of decide on a subject? Is it something you simply
see? Well, you have ideas about art, you know, what you think art should be, and then some subject matter comes in that correlates with your idea,
right?
And you go for it,
and
it's intuitive.
And how did it become portraits for you?
Well, I always like looking at people. And, mm-hmm. you know, and when I was in Cooper Union, I couldn't draw quickly at all because we had spent a week on a drawing. So I decided that that I'm going to learn how to draw. So what I did was get pads and drew around the clock.
Wow.
For 2 years.
Wow.
But mostly a lot of it on the subways because I lived out in Queens.
And you'd see so many great
faces. Yeah, you look at faces. Yeah. And I really like faces.
Yeah.
And that was it. And then at the end of the 50s, I was in a cafeteria at 4 in the morning with some artists. You know, they're arguing and talking. And, you know, one of those places that makes everyone look lousy. You know,
bad lighting.
Yeah. And so one guy says, I'm trying to get the expression in the eyes right, and I never heard anything so bizarre to me. Because I'm coming from French modern art.
Right.
And so I said, well, that's kind of interesting. At that time, I was having trouble with my painting because I was trying to get it to go more all over, you know. So you have a rhythm of a brush strokes across the canvas, be very fluid. To start with the eyes with specific detail was like scary.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That's the way I went. And I could have continued like collages I was making, which were negotiable.
Right.
But I went into this weird area, and it was like I found that Picasso and Matisse never was really specific.
Yeah.
So I went from very specific things, the details, the very generalized things, the flat backgrounds.
Uh-huh. And is that's sort of how that style emerged?
That's how it emerged.
So you might say that one strange comment in that poorly lit restaurant about somebody's eyes not being right sort of led to your...
Yeah, led to... Well, I was looking for that. I was looking for something because I was not happy with my painting.
Yeah. And Do you sometimes feel that this style that emerged, do you feel that that is what now people expect of you and want of you? Do you feel that that limits you in some way, or are you excited by...
No, I've I think I've moved on a lot because I went into these environmental landscapes in the 90s that
and the
people had to get used to them.
Yeah.
And I have a show now in Los Angeles of huge flower paintings.
And
it's not portraits of Ada.
And we did, I was going to say, we didn't even talk about the extraordinary portraits of Ada. I could speak to you forever if they'd allow, but I thank you so much for the time you've given us today. I'm a great, great admirer of your work.
And thank you.
I hope you continue to have a wonderful, wonderful career. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
I've been speaking with Alex Katz about his long career as a painter, a sculptor, and a printmaker. And you can see a slideshow of his work on our show page at WNYC.org. Alex, thank you so much.
You're welcome.